My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, King David had it right, you know. And he felt more than just a little guilty about living in a beautiful cedar palace in Jerusalem, when the dwelling place of Almighty God among men, the tabernacle, was nothing more than just a tent. He reasoned that the temple of God should be the best. It should be the finest that man could construct. But, as you well know, it was not meant to be. God had other ideas. Solomon, David's son, would be the one who would oversee the building of God's Old Testament temple, his dwelling on earth. But even more importantly, God promised David that David's dwelling, David's house, would last forever. That God would eventually build a temple for himself, a New Testament temple, in the womb of a virgin. And so it is that we come to celebrate the fulfillment of that promise, the feast of the Annunciation of our Lord, a fulfillment that actually happened nearly 1,000 years after the death of King David. In the 6th month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. Now, in just 23 days, you and I will gather with angels and with archangels, with the saints militant and the saints triumphant, to celebrate the Queen of Feasts, the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ from the dead. St. Paul reminds us that if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is in vain, and your faith is also in vain. But Christ's resurrection is impossible without his death. And his death can't be faked or pulled off deceptively. It has to be a real death, a death in a human body. Yet even our Lord's real death would do us no good unless he takes into his body and he suffers to death all of the penalties that were imposed by divine judgment on that very first transgression, on that very first sin. Death, hunger, thirst, toil, and the like. In short, God must become what we are. He must take on our sin, undergo our temptation, endure our cross, suffer our sufferings, and die our death. All in a human body like ours. Only then do we have any hope of being united to him and receiving his resurrection and becoming like him. And so it all hinges on what we commemorate annually on March 25th. Because what we celebrate today isn't just another Bible story, another episode in the life of Mary or Jesus. What we celebrate is the conception of our Lord Jesus Christ, but even more so, the conception of our salvation. That's what the angel Gabriel announces or annunciates. And as Martin Luther then would write, that day, that moment when Mary assented to the angel Gabriel's announcement, Christ was conceived. In that hour when she said, let it be to me according to your word. She conceived and became the mother of God. And Christ became true God and true man in one person. At that moment, he is both God and man in Mary's womb. And Mary is the mother of God. And at that moment, consider what's happening with this single cell Savior. This unborn child becomes a mass of two cells and then doubles again and again and again and again. Shortly thereafter, his sacred head will form. Within 40 days, he'll develop a heart, and his holy blood will begin to flow as it pumps. At 6 weeks, he'll develop eyes, eyes that will see the crowds and look into the souls of each one. At 10 weeks, he's just an inch long, but his arms will sprout and his hands will bud so that they can be extended as he reaches out and holds the world. Within that same period of time, the incarnate Son of God will have legs and feet. His lips will part in order for him to say the word. His gestation will be the same as ours, 9 months. He will be human, just as we are, yet without sin. And consider then what will happen. One day those legs of his will carry this Jesus up to Jerusalem, and he will be marched to Golgotha. His back will feel the stripes whereby you and I are healed. His head will be capped with a crown of thorns as man mocks his maker. Those feet and hands will be punctured by crude nails as he's offered for the life of the world and as the ransom, the sufficient ransom for all. That mouth of his will speak the word of forgiveness and full atonement from the cross. His eyes will behold his mother, and his lips will speak of love and comfort to this woman whose womb was his temple. When it's finished, that is, when the sins of the world have been atoned for, and when the wrath of God against sin has been vented, he will have been faithful unto death, even death on a cross. Jesus' heart will be stilled, pierced, and silent for 2 nights. But then consider what happens on the third day. The risen Redeemer stands upon the earth and speaks peace to his disciples. He extends his nail-pierced hands and he breathes his forgiving spirit. He eventually ascends into heaven and is enthroned on high. And yet, even as he is present there, he is also most certainly and truly present in his church here, in this temple, in his real body and blood, given and shed for your salvation. So come, everything is ready. Amen.